take a book or a chapter and read it over and over and over and over and over. Surprisingly, you will not be wearied with your reading, but the longer you read it, the more you get. And the amazing depths of Scripture. So, as you read, you find that the Lord unlocks verses and chapters and books, and you begin to see where they fit in the entire Bible, and you begin to see great truths about God. I really think that possibly, well, there are two great failings. At least these are ones I'm aware of in my own life. I don't spend enough time in my Bible. And then I don't spend enough time praying. We're going to look here in the first chapter of Daniel tonight to begin with. Instead of just reading one passage of Scripture, we're going to look through, and I'm going to tell you as we go who was king at this time, because we're going to be looking at the character of Daniel as he was there in Babylon. But let's ask the Lord for help. We do want to come sincerely to you, Lord, and urgently. We believe in desperate praying. If we really knew how bad the world is and how evil our old nature is, if we really knew how we are, our prayers would be desperate prayers. We would be crying out to the Lord night and day. And so here we are. Outwardly, we're very comfortable. We have no persecution. We'll have a place to sleep tonight. We've got food to eat. We have brothers and sisters in Christ here. None of us imprisonment for our faith this week. And we take it all for granted. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're asking, O Lord, that You would meet with us tonight, not only collectively, but individually, that You would sit down beside me, or stand beside me, and sit down each person in the congregation, and by the Spirit of God would guide our thoughts and point out verses to us and bring truth to remembrance. Guide us into truth, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we can draw nearer to the Lord. We're asking for Your help now. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In chapter 1, I'd like you to consider with me two passages. In chapter 1, verse number 9, we're interested in the character of Daniel. Verse number 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes. Daniel is one of the slaves brought from Jerusalem. Verses 18 to 21 in the same chapter. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And then please read with me from chapter 2 and verses 46 to 49. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And then please turn pages further to chapter 5, and just verse 29, "Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom." And then just a few verses further down, consider with me verses 1 to chapter 6. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." In the same chapter, verse 25 down to verse 28, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, multiplied unto you, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." I started making notes on little sticky notes. I'd write one to put some of these in the back of your Bible and use them for making notes on when you're reading your Bible or listening to someone speak from God's Word. And I started making notes some weeks ago and writing down as I read through the book about how many people Daniel touched. How many lives did he bless? And you know what? I've come to the conclusion that there were thousands. How many lives do you touch? 10, 20, 50, 100? If you have a full life and you serve God with all your heart, would any of us fully touch 1,000 people? Would be a help to all those? We have no idea how many people our lives influence. When I read the life of Daniel, you see him touching the life of a man named Ashpenaz, and another man named Melzar, and another man, when we get into Arioch, and Nebuchadnezzar himself, and the wise men. I really want to talk to you about the wise men sometime. Can I just drop this little stone in the pond, and you think about this? I really wonder if the wise men that came to see baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 2 were not the long-term fruit of Daniel. I'll tell you why another day. If you're curious about that, come and ask me. I think I've found some indications in reading through the book that Daniel's life, the godliness of his character, had an influence on people for centuries. Four centuries later, there were wise men that came to see baby Jesus. And I'd like to suggest to you that Daniel had a part in that. We can't go there tonight. The friends of Daniel in chapter 1 and chapter 3, chapter 2 as well. Again, the king and the princes and the governor, chapter 4. The captains, the counselors, all the nations. In chapter 5, you have the queen who was touched by Daniel's life. And you have Belshazzar, the rebellious king, and his wise men and lords, and Darius, who becomes the Medo-Persian king in chapter 5 at the end of the chapter. And of course, no sooner had he become king than someone said to him, "O king, before you slay me, I must tell you that there's a man in the kingdom named Daniel that told that you were going to take the kingdom tonight. You need to find him. You need to know Daniel." And Darius' life was touched by Daniel. We get into chapter 6, you see the other two presidents who lied about Daniel, and their lives were touched, and not favorably, by Daniel. The princes, the governors, the captains, the soldiers, the nations. It's amazing when you look at Daniel's life how many people his life touched directly and I wish we could take time to look at all of those. I call Daniel a captivating Bible character. I went and looked up the word captivating. We don't want to just use a word because it's impressive or sounds good, but it's a word that means having power to engage the attention or the affection. You know how that when you meet them, whether you say it out loud or you think it in your heart, or you come to think it later, there are people when you meet them, you say, I want to know that person better. And fellas, it's not always a girl, is it? There are fellas that we meet that we say, that man to be my friend, I want to be his friend. Daniel was a captivating character. The word captivating carries the thought of taking someone captive. Oftentimes it's by beauty or excellence. It means to charm or to fascinate. And here in chapter 1, if you come back here, it may be that Daniel had natural attributes, natural qualities that were very attractive to people, but they weren't what was most attractive. In chapter 1, in verse number 3, Daniel belonged to the first wave of captives taken out of Judah in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. And it tells us in verse number 3 that these were of the king's seed and of the princes. So these were nobility. These were people that had everything supplied. They had the best of education, the best of housing, the best of food, all of those things. And we would say, well, maybe that made Daniel somewhat attractive because he had good manners. And then you read down a little bit further in verse number 4, it says, children in whom was no blemish. If you looked at Daniel, you would say, and his friends, you would say, you know, this fellow doesn't have any physical blemish. There's not anything about him that's attractive. The same thing is said about David. You remember Dave Onus mentioned. The scripture says about David that became king that he was ruddy. That means reddish, possibly his hair, ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. Handsome man, young man, very attractive young man. We read here about Daniel and his friends, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, nice looking, skillful in all wisdom. You could ask any one of these fellows, what's the cube root of 1,012? And they'd tell you. And cunning in knowledge, understanding science. These are men that already had some education, and they had a grasp of it. Such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. They had poise. They had good manners. There was grace there. When they walked into the king's presence, they didn't get the shakes like we may have done. And then it says they were teachable in verse 4, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. These were fellows that were willing to learn and able to learn. And so when we read about this, we say, is that why Daniel was such a captivating character? Blessed with the good gene, blessed with natural attributes and qualities. But I want to suggest to you that what made Daniel so captivating was not the outward things. If you gave Daniel an oral examination and you asked him hard questions, he would come up with the right answers, but that wasn't made Daniel so captivating. We read it several times in the book, and it's a blessing to read it every time. Chapter 5, particularly in chapters 5 and 6, look in chapter 5. Belshazzar has seen the handwriting on the wall, and it's really got him. He's afraid. The joints of his loins are loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Here's a king who's terrified by the handwriting on the wall. And it says in verse number 10, now the queen, some of the writers say that this may have been the king's mother rather than his wife, the queen mother. But nevertheless, the queen by reason of the king and his lords came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee. Don't let this take you down. Don't let this mess you up. Nor let thy countenance be changed. Don't cry in front of everyone. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the Spirit of the holy gods. And that's one important. But we'll lay that aside for a moment and read on. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. And we'll lay that phrase aside for a moment. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, and here's our phrase, for as much as an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. And knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Well, Daniel is called in and the king flatters him. I'm sure that he only intended to get the information from Daniel. He didn't intend to be impressed with Daniel, according to what we read of the profanity of the king, and wine out of the holy vessels of the temple, and praising the gods of gold and silver and wood and iron and stone. But I want you to take note of something here in verse 14. These are the words of Belshazzar. I've even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellence found in thee. Impressed with Daniel, but go down to chapter 6 and verse 3. And here is that most important phrase. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him around. An excellent spirit was in him. That phrase, an excellent spirit was in him, is not in itself speaking about the Holy Spirit. But we believe there are verses that do speak about the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, when the king forgot his dream, and he called in the wise men, and he said to them, tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. Verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It's a rare thing that the king requires that can show it before the king, except the gods, and this phrase here, whose dwelling is not with flesh. If we could tap into what the gods know, they worshipped. One brother said just recently that it's been identified 65,000 idols in Babylon. 65,000 idols in Babylon! The hint more than that. And these wise men say, king, nobody can tell you your dream. Nobody can interpret the unknown dream except the gods, and they don't live with men. But the scripture says that the spirit of the holy God was in Daniel. That's really important. Did you know, dear brother, dear sister, did you know that if you're born again, the Spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, talking about the Holy Spirit, he's none of his. And that tells us something really important. Born again, children of God, all Holy Spirit. He takes up residence in us, we believe, at the moment of conversion. He does a work of baptizing us into the body of Christ, we believe, at that moment. He does a perpetual, repeated, continual work if we meet God's conditions of filling us with the Holy Spirit. But every born-again person has the Holy Spirit, have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you. He indwells the believer. That's settled. Don't even bother to ask. You're asking for something you've already got. If you know Christ, and in the Old Testament, we find Daniel is an example of someone who had the Holy Spirit within him, and it had such an effect on life that people looked at him and said, here's a man with an excellent spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was at work in Daniel's life. Can I suggest to you that probably a good prayer for us to pray would be to say to the Lord, you're looking for some prayer requests, pray one for yourself. Oh Lord, let the Holy Spirit do everything in me you want Him to do. Let the Holy Spirit do in me everything He wants to do. Don't let me offer any resistance. Work in me. Reprove me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That you will chasten me. I pray that you will sanctify me, purify me. I pray that I would be filled biblically with the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about any weird thing. We're not talking about blue fire running off your fingertips. We're not talking about you flaking out on the floor and barking like a dog or something like that. That's not of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about what describes the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it would be good for us to say, Lord, I don't want to resist. I don't want to hinder the working of the Spirit. I don't want to quench. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit work in my life and bear the fruit of the Spirit in me. Because, you know, if you wanted to what an excellent spirit, Daniel, you can start out with the fruit of the Spirit. Let's see if we can go through them tonight by memory. Have you memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23? What's the first one? Love. What's the second one? Joy. What's the third one? Peace. What's the fourth one? Long-suffering. What's the fifth one? Gentleness. What? Goodness. What's the seventh one? All right. Faith. All right. What is the eighth one? Meekness. What's the last one? Temperance. In this verse, the word temperance is a lot larger than not drinking alcohol. The word temperance there has to do with self-control, restraint. Now, I think it has a positive aspect. We won't go here for long. I'll just mention this to you. I think it has a positive aspect as well as a negative. We usually think about temperance having to do with keeping myself from doing what I should not do. But self-control also has to do with stirring myself up to do what I know I ought to do. Control has to do with saying, get out of bed, you lazy mongrel. What are you lying here asleep for? It's time to get up and read your Bible before you go to work. Get up! And don't be slack. So temperance has to do with a positive aspect as well as a negative aspect. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so if we had sat down with Daniel to talk, Daniel said to us, come over, Will, tonight. Come over and have a meal with me. We wouldn't be there very long before we would say, wow. Inside, we'd say to ourselves, oh, here is a man with an excellent spirit. How many of you, I'm not going to ask you to tell me who, how many of you have ever been with a brother or sister in Christ that the Lord blessed you with being with them so much that you said, oh, I'd like to be as good a Christian as them. Have you ever been with anybody like that? Have you? That's good. Amen. You know, we want to not only be with people like that, we want to be so that someone says, hey, can I hang around you? Can I just, if you're going to check the mailbox in town, can I go with you? Yeah, if you're going to mow the grass, can I walk along beside? You know? If you're going to milk the cow, can I help? Just, they want to be with you. And to be with those. I just love the verse so much. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with what? Wise men shall be what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. He that walketh with wise men. Oh, let me encourage you. Prowl all the time, looking for people who have an excellent spirit, who have the fruit of the Spirit in their life, who have wisdom. And you go looking for them and say, hey, look, can we just hang out a bit together? Can we just do some things together? Can we just talk? Can we just, if you're, I go. Nobody likes to go to Ken's. Unless you got family there. But we'll let you off on that one. Daniel had an excellent spirit. I think we ought to take note of something else. And that is that God said some good things about Daniel. Let's just have a quick look here. In chapter 10, I believe it is. I fully intended to write this down, and I may not have written it down, and I wanted to write it down. Go with me to Daniel. It's actually chapter 9. No? I'll tell you, it's in chapter 10. Come over to chapter 10 with me. My problem is not writing things down that I wanted to tell you about. In chapter 10, we'll look at least one reference here. And there are two references in this passage. Chapter 10 and in verse 10, Daniel has fallen into a deep sleep on his face because of the greatness of the vision. In chapter 10, verse 10, "Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." O Daniel, you're a man that is greatly loved. Why was he loved? Was it because he was educated? Was it because he was handsome? Was it because he was teachable? Was it because he was skillful in science and all matters of wisdom and understanding? No, it was because he was loved because he had an excellent spirit. The Spirit of God was at work in his life. He was greatly beloved. And it's interesting, I think, the angel may be saying to him, I'm not trying to put words in the angel's mouth, but I think that the angel may have been saying, "In heaven we love you." And if you come down a little bit further here, you'll notice in this chapter, verse 19, the angel, or another possibly, came to him in verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, "O man greatly beloved, Daniel, we love you in heaven." Do you think the Lord ever does with us what he did with Job? Who was it mentioned Job tonight? Somebody mentioned Job. Giselle. Do you think the Lord ever does with us what he did with Job? Because you know the devil has access to heaven. He's not welcome there. He's not one of the holy angels. He's a fallen angel. But he still has access to heaven, and he goes and accuses the brethren. Do you think the Lord ever says to him, "Have you seen my servant Ben? A holy man, godly man, has an excellent spirit. He eschews evil. Have you seen my servant Kate, or Troy, or Aphiah, or Brad? Have you seen my servant?" The Lord takes note of his children. And he says to Daniel, "Daniel, you're a man, the angels, you're a man greatly beloved." Now, what I wanted to do tonight, and our time is just gone, and so I can't tell you. We'll come back to this another night. But what I wanted to do tonight, what was it? What was the fruit of Daniel having an excellent spirit? How did it show up? How did it show up life that he was a man with an excellent spirit? And if any of you are, do any of you belong to the FBI, Faithful Bible Investigators? Do any of you belong to the FBI, Faithful Bible Investigators? If you're a Faithful Bible Investigator, would you go through the book of Daniel and look and see how many ways the excellent spirit shows? Can I just tell you one tonight and we'll close? I want to tell you about one because I'm so impressed with this in chapter 2. There's so many clues in the second chapter about the life of Daniel before he ever became a slave in Babylon. Proofs of his excellent spirit. Let's read from chapter 2, verse 16 to 23. Take note of a couple of things here and then we'll close. The king, this is the chapter of the forgotten dream. The king dreamed a dream and it troubled him greatly. He called in the wise men and said to them, "Tell me the interpretation." "We can't tell you. Nobody can do that except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." So the king sent out a soldier, Arioch, in verse 15, the king's captain, to go and kill all the wise men. "These fellows are liars. Go kill them all." But verse 16 reads this, "Then Daniel desired of the king that he would give him time and they would show the king the interpretation." Can I show you something really interesting? Turn to chapter 1. Chapter 1 tells us about the invasion of Israel, of Judah. In the third year, verse 1, in the third year of the reign, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And this is the first invasion of the land by Nebuchadnezzar. And he goes and beats down the gates and he takes out some captives. And Daniel is in that first wave of captives that comes out of there. That's in the first year of... How long were Daniel and his friends trained before they stood before the king? Can you remember? It's in chapter 1. How long? 3 years. But look at chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Did you know that Daniel was still in training? He was still there. He was just 1 year in to his apprenticeship when the king said, kill all the wise men. And Daniel said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty? And there was such an excellent spirit there that he was able to say to Arioch, would you take the king? Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, took Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar while he's still an apprentice. He's not qualified yet. He hasn't stood before the king as at the end of chapter 1 yet and been seen to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers in all the realm. It hasn't happened yet. He's just 1 year into his apprenticeship. We see here in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's companions that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Can somebody sum that phrase up in verse 18, desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret? Can you sum that up and put it in one word? What's the word? What did they do? They prayed. So here's what I'm going to say to you. The first proof we're thinking about of Daniel's excellence of spirit was he knew already that a true deep understanding of God's revelation, because that's what you have in the dream, a true deep understanding of God's word comes by prayer. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God told him to dream and told him. Did you know that real understanding of God's word doesn't come by owning computer programs, Bible study programs? Real understanding of God's Word does not come by owning a library full of books, commentaries, and lexicons, and concordance, and all of those things like that. Real understanding of God's Word comes through desperate prayer. We have to know, Lord, or we're going to die. We have to have an answer from God. Helpless, fervent prayer. And verse 19 said, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. We really need to save this and talk about this another time. But Daniel's excellent spirit also included gratitude. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, verse 19. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He's talking about the contents of the dream. The head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the loins and legs of iron, the feet of iron. Daniel's talking about what God has revealed, and he's thanking the Lord. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and might are Yours, Lord. You change the times and the seasons. You remove kings and set up kings. You give wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. You reveal the deep and secret things. You know what's in the darkness and the light with You. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, hast known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Here we have one of the reasons Daniel's character is so captivating, because he had an excellent spirit. And it shows up first thing we're going to notice in looking at his character is that he knew how to pray desperately. Do you know how to pray desperately? Or are your prayers those simple little trite users? Don't get any higher than the ceiling. Do you know how to really get hold of heaven? Do you know how to get on your face before God? Do you know anything about fasting? Daniel knew about fasting. Do you know how to get so desperate that food's not important? Friends aren't important? Facebook is not important? Let's see. Wow. I'll give you another. Food and friends and Facebook and phones are not important. And everything just gets thrown aside to be desperately praying to God. Some of you have cried to God when you were in danger of losing a little one or a loved one. And this is probably where Daniel's life has been such stark contrast to our lives, because we're so casual about prayer. I say this to you over and over, and you sort of think it's a cheap advertisement from the pastor. Did you know when a prayer meeting dies, the church dies? Did you know that? Prayer meeting dies, you can nail up the doors and the windows, it's gone. Forget about it, it's finished. And prayer meetings die when Christians are not serious, when we're not desperate about praying. I tell you over and over again that the most important meeting we have at Grace Baptist Church is on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. Urge desperate praying for our missionaries and for others, for ourselves. Daniel had an excellent spirit. What an example he is to us. Now, you may not be drawn to study the life of Daniel. You may want to go and study Mary, the mother of Jesus. What a blessed study that is. You ladies may want to go and study Hannah or Samuel. Study that is, or Esther or Ruth. You may want to go and study one of those. But can I encourage you to go and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and don't ever stop? Keep accumulating precious truths, because the Lord will help you to grow in all these things.